You're listening to SBS News.
A lot of work still has to be done to close the gap. Don't just set, but meet and exceed. That's the message from advocates after meeting with governments on a renewed approach to incarceration rates of Indigenous Australians. The refreshing talks trying to improve Australia's record on Aboriginal deaths in custody is a force behind rallies taking place around the country in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. Closing the Gap aims to reduce the life expectancy gap between Indigenous Australians and other Australians. Chief Executive of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, Pat Turner, promises to hold states, territories and the Commonwealth accountable on the targets they agree to meet. She says every single social and economic issue that contributes to the gap must be urgently addressed.
Please understand this. You have to have safe, healthy housing, and you have to address environmental health. You have to have extensive, comprehensive primary health care available to every Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person who wants to access that, a strong Aboriginal legal service sector to influence policy and to make sure that the advocacy and the legal representation of our people is accorded every time someone is in contact with the criminal justice system at whatever level. You have to have our voices heard in combating family violence in this country, not only heard, but our organisations have to be resourced to address it from the community level up.
There have been more than 430 deaths in prison or in police custody since a Royal Commission in 1991. Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt is working with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations to reshape the targets on incarceration rates.
There should be consequences. And part of the work I'm doing now is going back and rereading the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, because we had the same issue then and we started to work towards solutions on a two-way basis, community and government officials, including police. And they had an impact. But I think as time has gone by, other things have replaced them. We've got to get back to doing a shared approach on what are the solutions and how do we stop this.
Advocates are emphasising work that needs to be done beyond this current push, saying it doesn't stop at setting the targets, but meeting and exceeding them. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg highlights government-led initiatives aiming to reduce the high level of incarceration, which he says are way too high.
I mean, the numbers I saw were showing that the Indigenous community, around 3% of the overall population, but up to 30% of the incarcerated community. That is too high. That is unacceptable in modern Australia. And so governments, working through the National Cabinet, dare I say it, and the Prime Minister has established a mechanism to work through these issues with the National Cabinet. We're absolutely working on ambitious targets. This is an issue where, as a nation, we come together with a common purpose.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics has released new data showing the average daily number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander prisoners has increased by 5% in the March quarter. It also found that almost three quarters of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander prisoners are in New South Wales, Queensland or Western Australia. And since last December, there's been a 36% increase in unsentenced Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander prisoners. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann says the government is motivated to do more.
We are committed to improving the lives of Indigenous Australians so that this generation, the next generation and generations henceforth can have the same expectations and opportunities as any other Australian. And we are committed to taking effective action to close the gap.
Another group on the front line is pushing the record. They are the National Aboriginal-led Justice Coalition of Peak Bodies and Non-Indigenous Allies. Their efforts are invested in early intervention, prevention and diversion strategies. Co-chair Cheryl Axelby says governments need to invest more in drug and alcohol facilities and mental health facilities.
We don't have enough of them in our communities. And that's right across the board. And same for our mob who, experience mental health issues. You know, they're ending up in the prison system because there are not services out there that are meeting their needs. If you send people to prison, and this is my experience over 35 years being in the, working in the justice system, they're not actually addressing the issues, but they're not actually putting a greater investment into the causal factors about why people are offending, and looking at rehabilitation in particular, and strengthening people coming out of the justice system, to me, is what we should be doing as a society, not, you know, traumatising people in that system, treating them like animals, and expecting them to come out into society to be well-adjusted human beings, when a lot of damage is actually done within those institutions.
Meanwhile, leaders from the First Peoples Disability Network have echoed their stance. According to Chief Executive Damien Griffiths, almost 50% of Indigenous deaths in custody had a mental health issue or a cognitive impairment. Mr. Griffiths says the mental health sector needs to be more effectively resourced.
It's a national shame, this issue. Aboriginal people with disability often end up in prison because of a lack of meaningful supports around their disability in the communities in which they live. That's not their fault. That's the fault of the system. We often say, if you're an Aboriginal person with disability and you're experiencing a psychotic episode, you're very likely to end up in the back of a paddy wagon. You're very unlikely to get referred to appropriate mental health support. The mental health sector is a poorly resourced sector across Australia, and it's particularly acute in regional remote Australia. So we often talk about things like, you kind of need to have your psychotic episode on the first Thursday every fourth month when the mental health team's in town, or you can forget about it. You won't get any meaningful support. In fact, you'll be criminalised and put in a paddy wagon and end up in prison. That's a very common experience.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.